The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Thank you for waiting, and it's really a privilege to be standing here again, and a privilege to share a little bit of my story, a full picture of my story, and that would really bring glory and honor to His name. I'd like us to start with a clap for our Lord Jesus Christ for bringing us here together. It's good to hear people from different countries offer a prayer using their own tongue. However, I can speak Cebuano and Tagalog, but nobody will understand. So I'll just go on trying to speak in my English, Filipino English, not even American English, but Filipino English. I'd like to start by saying, do you like your story? Are there some parts in your story you doesn't like? Are there some parts in your story that you like the most? I'd like to let you know and be encouraged that my story is God's story and that your story too is God's story. And with that, I'd like to point you some verses from the book of Psalms. The first verse is found in Psalm 139. And sorry, it's not printed in the white in that screen. But if you have your Bible, and I will read for you. Psalm 139, verse 16. And these are the words of Psalmist David. It says, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We know the fact that the life of David has ups and downs. But David said, before all of them came to be, everything was written in your book. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing as accidental or coincidental. Everything before it happened, it's been written in the book of the Lord as David said it. So because everything has been written and the light that we go through, we have to tell them because God wants it so. In Psalm 105 verse 5, Sorry, 105 verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. And this evening, I'm going to tell you what the Lord has done in my life. What the Lord has done in my life, I'm going to make it known to all of you tonight. And the third passage is Acts 16, verse 26. And this passage is about Paul encouraging the people in Athens, where they are worshiping with idols in Athens. And here is the words of Apostle Paul in Acts 17, verse 26, where he says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. I would like to highlight the phrase, that God determined the time set for every one of us. God determined even the exact places where we are living now. It's been determined by God. It's been set by God. It's been arranged by God for you and for me. When I was asked by members of our church where I'm going to transfer, I told this person, brother, I don't know where to transfer because I don't have a house. I don't have a lot or a piece of land where I can transfer. Because all my life, for 22 years, I'm just living in the back of the church where the personage is. And this brother said, then pastor, what is in your heart? I told this brother, said, brother, what is in my heart is I want to work another new ministry, which is I would like to work with the urban poor. And when this brother heard about the urban poor, he said, oh, pastor, my house is just where the urban poor is. In Lapu-Lapu City. And there I moved in that place, having in my mind that the Lord already determined it for me, having in my mind that the Lord already set it before me, even beforehand. He knew where will I transfer from Mandawi to Lapu-Lapu City. So with this, brothers and sisters, I'd like us to think about that everything that happens with us is with the permission, is with the full knowledge and awareness of our God. Even though it's painful, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, but God knew for the fact And everything is already written in his book before one of them came to be. And what's the reason for that? In verse 27 of Acts 17, God did this so that man would seek him. God did this so that man would seek him and would finally find the Lord in their lives. I grew up in a family where my father was a church planter. And try to imagine with me that my father would stay in this place for 3 to 5 years. And then after that, leave to another place. And then we'll have another house again, new friends again. And then, without much ado, after 5 years, transfer to another place again. So my father has transferred to 10 places in his life as a church planter, reaching the mountainous part of Davao, the different tribes of people in Davao. And I didn't realize that that experience was also used by God to prepare me for ministry. My next picture there is really about 12 years old, where I received the Lord Jesus Christ. So sad, isn't it? That my father is so very busy doing the ministry, but no time to tell the story of Jesus Christ about me. It was not my father who shared to me the love of Jesus Christ. It was not my father who led me to pray the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Somebody else did it. I thought I was okay because I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm going to prayer meeting every Wednesday and attend all of this religious activity in the church. But when this person came to me and said, "Danny, what is most important is give your life to Jesus." And I still remember it was on June 24, 1977, 7 in the evening. I personally made that decision to accept Jesus Christ at the age of 12. And I still remember after I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, I was so in fire to share the love of Jesus Christ to others. And the picture is still in my mind that I was the first man I was sharing the four spiritual laws was a tall guy, as tall as this, and I was 12 years old. And I can still remember my hand was shaking, reading the four spiritual laws to this man because I'm thinking what this man would do to me or maybe ask many questions I cannot answer. But when I asked this man, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ?" He said, "Yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ." And he prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And after that moment, I said, "Oh, what a wonderful feeling to share the love of Jesus Christ." And from that time on, I began bold in sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I finished high school and then went to seminary at the age of 19. The seminary I finished is Ebenezer Bible College and Seminary in Zamboanga, down in the south of the Philippines where the Abusayap are. Please don't go there when you go to the Philippines because that's a very dangerous place. And then at the age of 19, I began then to seriously study God and know more about God and know how to become a pastor and how to serve Him faithfully. And then after 5 years, I finished my Bachelor of Theology, where I also spent 1 year of my internship in Mandawi City Alliance Church. That's where I also pastored for 22 years. So from Bible school, I went to the place where I was an intern. And then after 1 year, back to Bible college, back to that place again. And for 5 years, I worked there as an associate pastor and as a youth pastor. The next picture would be the picture of my wife during our wedding day. My wife is called Ethel. And I want you to know that she was one of our young people in the church. She was very new then, 2 years in the faith, newly baptized. But in 1990, we got married. And during that time of our marriage, we had a good time, of course. And the Lord blessed us with 2 children. And at that time, while she was working at the same time in a hospital as medical technology, she worked as a med tech, but then as I worked then as the associate and assistant pastor of the Mandawi City Alliance Church. After 5 years of working there, I felt the Lord called me to be a missionary. So I told my wife, Ethel, I said, "Is it okay with you if we will go to seminary up there in the north of Manila, Philippines?" She said, "Okay, I'm willing to give up my work." She resigned from her work as a medical technology, and then in seminary we studied for 3 years. She finished MDiv in CE, Christian Education. And then I also finished MDiv Mission. Mission was my major in the seminary. My wife is a brilliant lady. She's very good in Greek. She's very good in Hebrew. And at the end of our schooling for 3 years, she received an award. She was an outstanding student in our seminary, and I didn't receive any. When we came back to the place where we worked with, some mission board of our denomination said, oh, you don't go to mission field at this time. You don't go to Thailand at this time. It's not time for you to go. You need to have some experience. So that's why we went back, and I was then the senior pastor of that time. And I asked my wife, hey, what do you want to do? You're finished with your seminary? Are you going back to the hospital and work as a medical technology? Then she told me, there's no way I will go back there. I will continue serving the Lord in this church. So then we work hand in hand. As husband and wife, we work together in the church where I've worked for 22 years. We set up a school. We have a good school there. And right now we have high school in that school, and it's growing in number. And we have some good time in that year that we were together. But during the first year of working, she only received a very small amount of money compared to what she was receiving in the hospital. In the hospital, she was receiving 7,000 for her salary, but in the church where we work, she was only receiving 150 pesos for the whole year. And expecting that somehow the following year it will increase, but still the allowance would only reach to 300 pesos. And my allowance at that time was only 4,500, but the following year it was turned into 5,500. So having said that, my wife had that, you know, self-pity, low self-esteem thing. Working so hard in the church, at the same time the school, and yet receiving that very small amount of money. So we worked together from 1996 to year 2000. Please show the next picture. And during this time, we really had that wonderful time together working. I'm the senior pastor. She worked as a CE director. She worked also as the youth pastor because she's very talented. A lot of young people come to our church because of her leadership. And then before 2000 came, something happened. She got burnout, because she always hear feedback from the church, from some members in the church. Oh, this church will not grow because your wife is creating a lot of problem in the church. When in fact, she was not creating a lot of problem. She was just doing a lot of ministry, and yet people do not appreciate, do not understand what she was doing. She got burnout. And the year 2000, she said, I'm resigning. I cannot continue working here in this church. Then I told her, oh, how is that? I want to stay here more. I'm so in love with the work here. I'm so in love with the ministry here. And she said, okay, just stay here, and I will resign and go somewhere. During that time, my sister-in-law also came back from Saudi Arabia. And that was the time she was offered to work in Saudi Arabia. And we had our heart-to-heart discussion. I said, okay, I might let you go and work to Saudi Arabia because maybe you need some time of refreshing, some time of finding new environment, and hopefully would soon recover, and then we will leave again and we will work together again. On one condition, that you only work there for one term, which means 2 years. So that was then our agreement. Then she went off. But in less than 6 months, my wife's decision has been changed. My wife's mind and understanding has been changed. She said, oh, I must keep on working here because I'm here to support you financially. And imagine, before she left Saudi Arabia, she was receiving 3,000 pesos, and now in Saudi Arabia, it's times 10. And had that feeling that she has a lot of things to contribute to the family financially. So I told her, oh, that's not our agreement. We did not agree that you would stay there that long. She said, oh, I'm sorry, but I have to work on and on and on and on. So from 2000 to 2006, That was the picture of our life. She comes home every 10 months. After 10 months and a half, she comes home and stay with us for 1 month and a half. Then back to Saudi Arabia. And that was our situation. But something happened in the middle of 2006 when she went back to Saudi Arabia. After 2 months of coming back to Saudi Arabia from the Philippines, she called me up and said, "I'm sorry, but now I'm already converted Islam. I am now a Muslim. And how can a Muslim and a pastor live together?" And according to Islam, if the wife is converted, the husband is not, the wife is now automatically single. And she keeps on telling me during that time, "Find another wife, I cannot be your wife anymore." I said, "Oh, that's impossible, we are still married." And the thing is, she did not come home year 2007. Year 2008, she did not come home. And all the more I think, oh, maybe my wife's decision is really serious. And this is the last thing that I told her when we were exchanging words. I told her, "Oh, how come you're turning to Islam? How come you're saying Islam is true and Christianity is false? When in fact, you know the truth. You've gone through seminary, you've received reward, you received this and that. Why are you turning back to Jesus Christ? When in fact, you know that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father without him." And this is the last word that she told me. "I'm sorry, but I made up my mind. I think Islam is the true religion and not Christianity." Oh, that breaks my heart. And since that time on, I stopped convincing her. And I wrote a letter to Bishop Reniel Nebab, telling him about my situation. "Bishop," I asked him, "will I continue serving as a minister in our church? Am I still credible to work as a pastor when in fact this is now the situation of my life?" I even added there and I said, "Bishop, can I remarry?" "Oh, you're so serious." The bishop did not answer me. But instead, my letter, three-page letter, was read before district supervisors in the whole entire Philippines. And there were 23 of them, district ministry supervisors, and they read my story, and a lot of them said, "Oh, this pastor should resign, oh, this and that and that." And then out of that discussion came a national policy approved by the National Board of Trustees of our CNMA, Philippines, that if your wife is working abroad, you should resign from pastoral oversight. Sometime in November of 2009, Bishop Nebab called me and told me about the approval of that policy. And I said, "Bishop, what will I do then?" And Bishop said, "Danny, sorry about that. All you have to do maybe at this time is find a work. Since you are an English teacher," I wasn't an English teacher. "Since you are an English teacher, then find a work as an English teacher." But deep in my heart, I was so sad at that time. I was so discouraged at that time. Why? Because I felt that all my life, I was a pastor. I studied as a pastor. I work as a pastor. And now I can no longer work as a pastor. And you know what? At that very moment, I felt that I was already useless. "Danny, you are now useless. You are just like a garbage thrown away. And you are no longer useful for the ministry." Oh, I feel that I was already crawling on the ground at that very moment. But in that moment of sadness and pain, I felt the hand of God pick me up. And the very strong line that God used to pick me up is the line that says, "Life is not about you. Life is about me." God was saying, "Danny, you are not the main character of your life. I am. And I play an important role in your life. Danny, life is not about you. Life is about me," God was saying. "And I have a purpose. I have a reason why I allow that thing to happen to you." And so back then in the year 2000, my picture there is, I really look so sad. Because I feel that, hey, pastoring without your wife near you is difficult. As if I like a bird with one wing and the other wing is already gone. I said, how can I do the pastoral work without my wife? And then that's the picture of my children. That in spite of those that I have gone through, God made also my children strong enough to support me. The big boy there is Gracious Mark. He is now 22 years old. And the youngest there is Daniel, 16 years old. And on June, my youngest will be turning into college, and he is taking a Bachelor of Science in Accountancy. And they are very good children, and they've been there to support me and to encourage me. There was even a time that I told them that they should love their mother, that they should care for their mother, and that the mother is continually communicating to them. The mother is continually keeping in touch with them. And I told them, you have to love your mother because your mother is still your mother. And without your mother, you will not be born in this world. So I constantly remind my children to love their mom because that is important for them to do so. So brothers and sisters, I've gone through this kind of pain, and yet the Lord allowed me to go through it, and the Lord healed me. The Lord healed my brokenness. Of course, as you try to look at the picture, I went through years of grieving, years of sadness. But God, in His own time, made me whole, healed me, and made me move on, even without my wife. I was asked the other night by one of the men who attended our group and said, "Hey, Pastor, how come God is good and yet He allowed these things to happen to you? You are serving God faithfully and yet He allowed these things to happen to you." And I told the men who were around, this play with two important theological concerns. That is, God as sovereign. On the other hand, man as given by God the freedom and the will. God in His sovereignty knew that in the future I would fail, or I would make wrong decision. God knew in His sovereignty that this thing will really happen. And everything He wrote it in His book before one of them came to be. God in His sovereign mind knew all of this. God knew that in my human will, I would really commit mistake. I would really make a wrong decision of letting go of my wife in the midst of her pain. In one of my messages, I said I was confronted, I think with the lady's message, I was confronted with one counselor and said, "Oh, why did you let go of your wife in that very moment that she was hurting, she was wounded, and that was the time that you should be with your wife to protect and to care, and yet you let go of her?" And God knew that I made some wrong decisions in the past. But out of these circumstances comes Romans 8, verses 28 to 29. And allow me to read it for you, although this is a very familiar passage. And it says here in Romans 8, 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those who foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the many brothers." That if you love the Lord, that if you are called according to His purpose, the truth of the matter is, God will work out something good for you. And it did work out something good out of my brokenness and out of my challenges. At this point, I'd like us to see that in our life, we may go through the same kind of experiences in our life. But I want you to find light, find hope. There is light, and there is hope, and there is healing with Jesus. With my experience, He has been the wounded healer, and I had experienced it. I had experience of His healing. And now, having said about my wife, I can declare a blessing of my wife. I have declared already forgiveness of my wife in the past. And I'm still wearing my wedding ring. And somebody said, hey, what if your wife will not come back to you? What will happen? Said, well, it's in the hands of the Lord. If God allowed me to be back with my wife, no problem. If not, no problem. I'm already moving on. One thing more that happened in the year 2009 was that she filed an annulment against me. This annulment is really something that I'd like to explain further because this is not something that is new or familiar to you, rather. Annulment. The greatest reason for marriage to be annulled is really psychologically you are incapacitated. So meaning something is wrong with my way of thinking and I'm psychologically not capable of making the marriage work. So if my wife will succeed in the filing of annulment against me, then that would mean that our marriage from the very beginning is null and void because I have psychological problem. I received 21 allegations from the court when I received that, when I received the letter from the court. 21 allegations. And if you try to read all the 21 allegations, is all about because I'm busy in the ministry, I have no time for them, this and that and that. And the lawyer in that city told me, a friend who is a lawyer, he said, Pastor, we are going to give a lesson to the court. We will answer this and fight in the court. I told the lawyer, okay, I'll try. Please help me with the finances, with the resources. He said, no problem. No charge. We will fight in the court so that court will have a lesson for this. And then I went home and began to answer question number one, allegation number one. You know what happened? As I began to sit down and write, anger aroused in me. How come this lawyer said this? How come this my wife said this? Oh, how come this and that and that? Oh, I became angry once again. And I called up the lawyer friend of mine and said, Attorney, I'm sorry, I cannot do it. Maybe I can do it, but I have to resign from my pastoral work. I cannot answer it at the same time working as a pastor because of the anger that will come out of it. So the attorney said, okay, if you don't want to answer it, then so be it. So I did not go to the court. I did not answer. I did not appear there, whatever. I did not go to the court. And the verse that really comforted me is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, where it says, if the unbelieving lives, let go of him. And no one should be bound in such circumstances, for we should live in peace. God was saying to me, I should not be bound by that circumstances. I should live in peace. So that's the time then that the Lord continually the processing of letting go of my wife for peace's sake. Letting go of my wife so I will not be bound in that circumstances. After all, it's really her decision. Now, having said all of this, I would say God is good. And I will show you the next picture of God's goodness in my life. Having been recovered, the Lord blessed me with a ministry. I thought I will be useless, but God opened a lot of opportunities. A church planting work was opened in Buntuk, and that's the picture of the church, another picture. And another work opened in Dumaguete, and I work as a mentor, a trainer of DCPI to this church planter. And now the work is growing in Dumaguete. And ministry with the urban poor. Oh God, you're doing great things. And then another work, the Lord opened me to coordinate or supervise 5 church planting work. 3 in Leyte, 1 in Bohol, 1 in Dumaguete. I said, God, you are so great. I thought I'll be useless. But you have opened a lot of opportunities for ministry. And then another picture there is my picture in Hong Kong. More picture. And that's a picture in Disneyland, Hong Kong. And I said, God, thank you for bringing me to Hong Kong and having this kind of fun. And more picture, that's the picture of men who was with me. And then another picture. This picture is a picture of women, OFW, Overseas Filipino Workers. 2010, I received a call. Pastor, please come over to Hong Kong. I said, what? What will I do there? And the missionary said, Pastor, we want you to share your message. I said, what's the topic? He told me, speak the topic, brokenness to wholeness. I said, why in the world talk about this? They said, oh, we heard about your story, and we want you to come, because a lot of Filipina workers here, marriages are also breaking up. I said, okay, I'll go there. And so I went there on a winter conference, and there were 500 women, and there are only few men who attended. That's why I was asked, are you comfortable speaking to women? All women? I said, no problem. I had that in Hong Kong, where only out of the 500, only two men are around, and all the rest are women. Oh, we had a good time there. On day one, I was already shedding tears. When I began to tell them about broken relationship of husband and wife, brought about by long-distance relationship, oh, women begin to shed tears. When I talk about the ill effects of long-distance relationship of absentee father and absentee mother, the ill effects towards children, oh, they begin to shed tears. And on and on. And I said, God, thank you for letting me understand what you're doing in my life. For letting me find meaning. For letting me find fulfillment in my brokenness. Because you have a greater purpose of ministering to people whose lives also have been broken. After I spoke in Karawara live stream, a man from Iraq came and approached me. Pastor, I do not understand. Why you go through all of this pain and suffering? And I told him, brother, you know, God will use this brokenness to bless others who have been broken as well. And then he began to tell his story that he was married for 18 years. And then after 18 years, his wife broke up and had divorce. And he told me that during those divorce time that I met the Lord. Then I told him, that's it. God will allow circumstances for us to know Him, to meet Him personally, and continue to bless others with that story, with what the Lord is doing in your life. The next picture there, yes, those are some pictures in Hong Kong. The next picture then would be my ministry with the young people in the community. I told you about it. The next picture, please. And this is the picture of the children whom I minister with. And then second to the last is the core group. These are now the small groups of people who are with me as a core group in my church planting of Lapu-Lapu City. Right now, I am conducting house worship services. We don't have a joint worship service like this. But on the first Sunday of October, that will be our launching Sunday. That will be an exciting Sunday where all the people, we had worship services in the houses. We will meet. We don't have a place to meet yet. But by faith, we will meet in a certain place and have our first Sunday worship service in that place on the first Sunday of October. And please pray for me that these core group leaders would continue to work with me and support the ministry. I had a dream. Please show me the next picture. I roam around for 9 months that I roam around in the morning and I pray. I spotted some places where we can put up a building for God's work. I found other places, but I was not so impressed. So I roam around farther and move and pray in the morning. And that's my activity in the morning. With my short pan, I walk and pray. God bless this place. God open opportunities here. God, this and that. These are the prayers I offered. The same prayer that I offered with Darren when we walked around Karawara last Friday afternoon. And I come across this piece of land. And I said, God, this is a beautiful land. Way up there is a school where there are 1,000 high school students, very near. And way up in this side, there are 5 urban poor community where I also live. And there are other many people in the vicinity. This piece of land is a very strategic land. And every time I passed by there and I said, God, I'm claiming this land for you. This land is just small, but you are big God and you are great God. And before I came here, I tried to call up the owner of the land. Hey, ma'am, how much is this land? And the lady said, what do you plan for this land? I said, oh, I plan to put up a church here where the Lord is being worshipped and honored. And this lady said, oh, that would be good. That would be great and exciting. I'd like you to buy this land so that the church will put there. I said, ma'am, how much is the land? Then she paused for a quiet while, and then she said, oh, this land would cost 10,000 pesos per square meter. And the land is 1,002, so it's quite expensive land. But I knelt down before the Lord and said, God, if you will, you can do it. This land is yours, and I claim it for you. I dream that in this land, a small or not that really glamorous building will be built, but a building where God's people can gather, train for DCPI, and do a lot of ministry for schools and for Obron poor and other people in the city. And this land I claim for the Lord himself, if he wills. There is nothing impossible with him. I would like to close with these important points. I have just shared to you that my story is God's story. I hope you are now convinced that your story is also God's story. Please point the first point there. I want you to remind yourself that, yes, your story is God's story. Your story points to Christ's story of salvation. In my story points to a point of restoration, healing, forgiveness, and in the story of Jesus as well. Your story is sacred. Next, your story is sacred because it comes from God. Your story is sacred. It comes from Him. Your story can be an object lesson to many. And what's the object lesson in my story? Oh, don't go into a long distance relationship. It's too dangerous out there to go into a long distance relationship. Another object lesson could be, if you are hurt, if you are wounded, it's not good to go away without releasing forgiveness. And that's the point that I learned from the story of my wife. Next is your story contains insights which are coming from the Lord. And then finally, your story displays God's wonders. Your story displays God's glory. In my brokenness, in my weakness, I want you to know that I have seen also the glory, the power, and the greatness of God. There was one point that I was tempted. A lady, a beautiful girl, came to me in one of the supermarkets in Cebu and said, sir, are you alone? I said, yes, I'm alone. Sir, can we have a date? I told her, please explain to me, what do you mean by can we have a date? And she said to me, sir, do whatever you want to do with my body. Oh, when I heard of that, I was shaking, you know. I was holding my cell phone like this, and I was shaking. I don't know why I was shaking. Because during that time, my wife did not come home for so many years. And here comes this woman trying to offer me something. I was shaking for quite few seconds rather. Then after that, I was able to recover and said to her, I'm sorry, you are barking at the wrong tree. And then we parted ways, nothing happened. See, I'm still human. I also have that struggle. But in the midst of my weakness and vulnerability, God's power, God's glory is made available. In fact, Paul said, when you know that you are weak, God's power is displayed in your weakness. God's grace abounds in your weakness. And in that story, I see the greatness of God and His glory as well.